It's December the 1st. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey. Here we are, Book of December. This is it, friends. During this last month, we started in Genesis, and by God's grace, at the end of this month, we're going to be in the Book of Revelation. And during this last month of the year, well, we spent many days in Isaiah, many days in Jeremiah, many days in Ezekiel. Now, let me tell you, we're going to be hopping and skipping and jumping around a lot this last month. Let me tell you what we're going to cover during December. Hebrews, Amos, Obadiah, James, Jonah, 1 Peter, Micah, Nahum, 2 Peter, Habakkuk, 1 John, Zephaniah, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Haggai, Zechariah, Psalm 136 through 150, the book of Malachi, and then the last 6 days, the book of Revelation. So get your running shoes on, folks, and just be ready to turn from one book to another. It's just going to be fantastic. We start December with Hebrews. We finish the book of December with the book of Revelation. So this is December the 1st. It's the beginning of Advent, making a journey during the month of December from wherever we are to Bethlehem. And so we pray, as we should, that the Lord will open our eyes and open our hearts to have a new view of Jesus during this Advent season. I do want to tell you one thing important. I've not tried to hide this, that these Bible readings that I've done have been taped in advance, sometimes a week in advance, sometimes a month in advance, just because we've had a whole lot of travel and stuff that we've done this year, been on the road a great deal, and have some travel left to do in the month of December. But I want you to know this. Get ready. We're going to do the last 6 days of the year live, starting on December the 26th, the day after Christmas, 7 a.m. in the morning, Central Time. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to push the button. It's not going to be a tape. It's going to be coming live to you, 7 a.m. Central Time, December 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31. The last 6 days, we're going to read through the book of Revelation together live so you can join me in it. You don't get to see behind the scenes, but sometimes I have to start over. There's not going to be any do-overs when we do Revelation. We're going to hit the button and do it live. I am so excited about that. And don't worry. It will automatically be uploaded to, you'll be able to watch it on Facebook or Rumble or YouTube or the Keep Believing website. Now, Rumble, we will upload it there a little later, but on the other places, it'll go live to YouTube, Facebook, and the Keep Believing website. But the thing is, it'll stay there. So if you can't get up early and watch it live at 7 a.m. in the morning, it doesn't matter. You can watch it later. But I would encourage you, get up early. It's going to be that last week. A lot of us have that week off or whatever. So day after Christmas. Well, I'll be talking a lot more about that. I just want you to know I've enjoyed making these videos, but I think it's going to be great to get to read the Bible live on the air over the internet with you. So that's coming up December the 26th through the 31st. Okay, today, and for 4 days, the wonderful book of Hebrews. Jesus is better. That's really the theme of the book. He's better than Moses. He's better than the law. He's better than the angels. He's better than the Old Testament priesthood. He is better. In many ways, Hebrews is the greatest book in the New Testament. We can say this much. It shows us the clearest picture of the present ministry of Jesus Christ. I mean, we know what he did 2,000 years ago, but what is Jesus doing in heaven today? And what difference should that make for you and for me? And it does answer many questions. Why is Jesus the only way? What do we mean when we say he's God's final word? How can I learned to stand firm in my faith. Why is it that I'm tempted to drift away? What do I do when I'm tempted to give up? How can Jesus help me right now today? And a great pressing question, who is Melchizedek and how do you spell his name and what did he do? Well, we'll talk a little bit about Melchizedek, about the book. Let me just say this. One of the great questions, which I can't answer definitively, is who wrote it? Now, if you have certain versions of the Bible, it will say the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Fine, but it does not say, you know, Paul's other epistles, assuming if he wrote Hebrews, in all the other epistles, it says Paul. Hebrews, Paul's name is not anywhere in the book of Hebrews. Some people say it could have been written by Barnabas. Some people say it could have been written by Apollos. There's a very exalted form of Greek in here. Apollos was a gifted speaker, so maybe Apollos. Some people say a woman wrote it, perhaps Aquila, which is why her name perhaps, maybe that explains why the name is not attached to it. A woman wrote it but didn't want her name attached to it. She wanted it to be accepted in the early church. Well, we don't really know. If it had been important, we would know. All we know is it's included in the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. More to the point is, why was this book written? It was written to Jewish believers in the first century, probably between 65 and 70 AD, that is, in the years just before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, believers in Christ who had come out of the synagogue, who had come out of the temple, who'd come out of Old Testament worship, who understood the sacrificial system, who knew who Melchizedek was, who knew the Old Testament law, who knew about the tabernacle. They had come out of that. They had left that. They had come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And now they were being persecuted for their faith. And some of them evidently had turned around and gone back. They had left Christ. They had left the church. They had left their open identification with the Christian faith. They were going back. Jewish Christians, under pressure and being tempted to go back to Old Testament Judaism. I do believe we should read it as if it is written to genuine Christians, because I think we understand it better if we just think it's written for people just like you and me who truly do know the Lord. Yet we face our own set of temptations to drop our weapons, to leave the battle, to go AWOL from the body of Christ. So then, here is a simple outline. Jesus is better. He is superior. The superiority of the person of Christ, chapters 1 through 4. The superiority of the priesthood of Christ, chapters 5 through 10. The superiority of the life of faith, chapters 11, 12, and 13. One other thing that we have in here, these famous five warning passages, a warning against drifting, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, a warning against doubting, chapter 3, verses 7 through 19, a warning against departing, chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 6, a warning against despising the Lord, chapter 10, verses 26 through 31, and finally, the final warning against total disinterest in the things of God, chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. We'll make a few comments on those warning passages as we go through them. Now, with all that said, let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for this wonderful book. Open our eyes to see Jesus in a new way, better than anything in the universe. Help us to know him and love him more as we read this book in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 1. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he became superior to the angels, just as the name he inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son. today I have become your father. Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. Again, when he brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And about the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his servants a fiery flame. But to the Son, your throne, God, is forever and ever. And the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of justice. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. That is why God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy beyond your companions. And in the beginning, Lord, you established the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. You will roll them up like a cloak, and they will be changed like clothing. But you are the same, and your years will never end. Now, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? Hebrews chapter 2, coming now to the first warning passage. For this reason, we must pay attention all the more to what we have heard, so that we will not drift away. For if the message spoken through the angels was legally binding, and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? This salvation had its beginning when it was spoken of by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard him. At the same time, God also testified by signs and wonders, various miracles and distributions of gifts from the Holy Spirit according to his will. For he is not subjected to angels, the world to come that we are talking about. But someone somewhere has testified, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him lower than the angels for a short time. You crowned him with glory and honor and subjected everything under his feet. For in subjecting everything to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. As it is, we do not yet see everything subjected to him, but we do see Jesus made lower than the angels for a short time, so that by God's grace he might taste death for everyone, crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. For in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was entirely appropriate that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will sing hymns to you in the congregation. Again, I will trust in him. And again, here I am with the children God gave me. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these, so that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For it is clear that he does not reach out to help angels, but to help Abraham's offspring. Therefore, he had to be like his brothers and sisters in every way, so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in matters pertaining to God, to make atonement for the sins of the people. For since he himself has suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was in all God's household. For Jesus is considered worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder has more honor than the house. Now every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's household, as a testimony to what would be said in the future. But Christ was faithful as a son over his household, and we are that household if we hold on to our confidence and the hope in which we boast. Therefore, as the Spirit says, now, we're coming here, just to interrupt to say, beginning in verse number 7, down through verse 19, second major warning passage. Hebrews 3:7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked to anger with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin deception. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. As it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who heard and rebelled? Wasn't it all who came out of Egypt under Moses? With whom was God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. The first warning passage, a warning against drifting. Drifting that just happens so easily. Hardly know it. Just in a boat, just going down the lake. Doubting is the second one. It's a little bit more serious now. We've gone from drifting to doubting God's word. Let's see what He has to say. Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise to enter His rest remains, let us beware that none of you be found to have fallen short. For we also have received the good news just as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. For we who have believed enter the rest in keeping with what He has said. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest, even though His works have been finished since the foundation of the world. For somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day in this way, and on the seventh day, God rested from His works. Again, in that passage He says, they will never enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience, He again specifies a certain day. Today, He specified this, speaking through David, after such a long time. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for the people of God. For the person who has entered this rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from His. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from Him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, since we have a great High Priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, therefore, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a High Priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. There is so much here. He's better than the angels. You saw that. There's a danger of drifting. You saw that. Don't neglect. Be careful. Be careful that you don't neglect the salvation God has given you, or you're going to be like the guy who was in the boat who laid down for a nap, didn't realize the current was taking 6-7 miles down the lake. He's in trouble. It's a rowboat. What's he going to do? See, that can happen. That can happen so quickly. And understand that Jesus is the one who has tasted death for every man. He's freed us from the fear of death so that when we come to him, he knows our name. He doesn't turn us away. Therefore, let us hold fast to our confession. Let's not be like the generation in the wilderness who doubted the word of God. You know, Kadesh Barnea, they sent out the 12 spies and 10 said no, 2 said go, Joshua and Caleb. The majority was wrong. The minority was right. They should have believed Joshua and Caleb. Whole generation died because of their unbelief, their doubt of the word of God. Let us therefore hold on to our confession. Let us understand that Jesus has given us everything we need for this life and the life to come. And don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. The word of God is powerful and penetrating. It lays us bare. Every silly, dumb excuse we make, it's all just laid bare. God judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, which would be very bad news. Except for this, we have a great high priest who understands. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We have a great high priest. We got a friend in high places. Isn't it good to know? I mean, that's what you need when you get in trouble. You need a friend in high places. You need to be able to pick up the phone. You need to be able to send a text, say, hey, I'm in trouble. Can you help me? Listen, brothers and sisters, listen, you got a friend. I mean, we've got somebody who's better for us than if we had access to the Oval Office. We'd go in and talk to the president. We got a better deal than that. I mean, sometimes you need medical help and you don't know who to call or how to get it. Sometimes, you know, these days with doctors and nurses, it's hard to get an appointment. Got to wait 5 or 6 months sometimes getting to see somebody. I mean, it's just the way life is now. Or maybe you get a little trouble with the law or something, and you don't even know who to call to help you out. We've got a friend in high places. We've got somebody we can call, and he understands. He understands our weakness. He understands our struggles. Therefore, come in with approach the throne of grace. By the way, aren't you glad it's a throne of grace? Aren't you glad? I am so glad it's not a throne of judgment. Wouldn't make it a day. If it was a throne of judgment, I'd have been in hell a long time ago. Aren't you glad it's always by grace? And Jesus now is in heaven at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We can come to the throne of grace with boldness. It's a Greek word that means freedom of speech. Tell him, like that song says, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you need. Call him up. Tell him what you need. If you are in trouble, tell him what you need. If you are discouraged, tell him what you need. If you feel like giving up, tell him what you need. Call him up. Tell him what you need. And you know what? You know what you're going to get when you go to Jesus? You're going to get grace to help in the nick of time. I got all these songs just floating around in my head just when I need him. Jesus is near. I can't think of the next line. There to comfort and cheer just when I need him most. So, friends, how can you not have a great day after reading a passage like this? If you're in trouble, and friends, you are in trouble. Did you know this? You're in trouble this morning. You're in trouble tonight. You're in trouble right now. You need Jesus. You got a little worry? You need Jesus. You're a little scared? You need Jesus. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring? You got a loved one who's in trouble. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you need. He will not turn you away. Got to finish. Aren't you glad for the Son of God? Aren't you glad he's there for us today and every day? Go out and put a smile on your face. It's December the 1st, final month of the year. Have a great day, friends. God bless you. Come back tomorrow. More good stuff from the book of Hebrews. See you then. God bless.